It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading with the 7th verse today. And so please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Hope that you're able to do that. I know if you're driving, why, just please listen very carefully. But I hope that you're able to study with us today. And as you are looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And once again, we begin reading Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, I cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice which spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this precious time. It's wonderful to be able to study your living word. And especially as we look at this book of Revelation, it will show us what's to come and these seven churches that we're going to enjoy studying here. We'll find that that's not only seven literal churches at that time, but it's also seven time periods. And as we will find out that we are in the final time period, the Laodicean church age. And so as we look at this, well, please just guide and lead us. I ask that you'll touch every heart for everyone that is listening that does not know you as their Savior, that today they will trust in you. They will come by faith to you and serve you and praise you. But please, dear Lord, everyone must have that personal relationship with you. And so, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross that we can live. You were obedient to your Father. And because of that, I can go right to you, Father, today. Unless you're born again, you can't do that. So please today, touch every heart. Every heart. Show them that they're lost, that they need a Savior. And they'll experience that wonderful opportunity of salvation if they'll just call upon you and ask today. Please, that be done. And Father, for the rest that are born again, that are saved, that have trusted in you as their Savior. Teach them your way today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This seventh verse that we looked at, we spent almost the whole time last time we were together on that verse of Scripture. We're not going to spend a lot of time today, but we need to just kind of remind ourselves that this declaration here, "Behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." There are two comings. There are two parts to this, and that's what we spent the time last time we were together. That's what we spent it on. And I don't want you to miss it, because these two parts, one is the rapture and the other is the revelation. And so one, the first, is when he comes to get his church, get the saints, us, everybody that is still alive at that time, and or that have died, because he will come and the graves will open first, and those that have went on and had to face the grave and went on to be with the Lord spiritually will once again be reunited with their body, only this time they'll have a glorified body, and we that are alive will meet him in the air, and forever will be with the Lord. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful declaration. But there will be another return of the Lord Jesus, only the second time, the revelation of Jesus, is when he will come down and plant his feet upon this earth, and we will be with him. First time he comes to get us, the second time we will return with him. There are 7 years between those two. And so we looked up several verses of Scripture, good verses of Scripture, John 14:3, Philippians 3:20, 1 Thessalonians 4, starting with verse 15, and then 1 Corinthians 15:23. We also looked up Zechariah 14:3-5, Colossians 3:4, Revelation 19:11-14. Looked through a lot of wonderful verses of Scripture. And so having that for review, now we get to the eighth verse, and that's kind of where we ended last time we were together, the Alpha and the Omega. And we just had went far enough into it to share that the Alpha and Omega is the first letter and the final letter, the last letter in the Greek alphabet, Alpha and Omega. God is the source, and we need to understand, of all things. He is the beginning of all things. He is the beginning of all truth, all life, all creatures, all creation, everything. He is the beginning. He's the first. And what a wonderful opportunity we have as believers in Jesus Christ to possess the same, to enjoy knowing the truth, to enjoy having life, and understand that we are one of his creatures. And so please that we walk each and every day praising him and honor him. So he is the beginning of all things. Now, Omega, the end. Everything finds its answer in Jehovah God. Sometimes, you know, today, while we'll search and search and search, trying to find the answer, trying to find, figure it out. And God is all wise. So he knows everything. And so once again, everything finds its answer in Jehovah God. God is eternal. What a promise. And so not only is he the beginning of all things, but he is also eternal. And so everything can be, an answer can be found with our God. He knows. And so please that you look to the Lord Jesus for salvation, because if you would trust in him today, he died on the cross for you that you can live. He took your sins away as he died upon that cross. And by taking your sins away, all you need to do is call upon him by faith. He sends the Holy Spirit to convict your heart of sin. He sends the Holy Spirit then at the same time to not only show you how miserable and wretched you are, but also the means of salvation. And he presents that to you. The Holy Spirit shows you Jesus. And then he says, come. And when you see those two things, all you have to do is say, yes, Lord Jesus, I will come. And you're born again. And at that time, you have not only the power over the flesh and over sin that you've never had before, but you will also possess a wisdom. God says in His precious word, if you lack wisdom, ask. You will have wisdom. All of a sudden, you'll realize a great understanding of many things. Will you understand everything? No, we're going to have to wait to get home to heaven to do that. But you can have a tremendous understanding of each day and how things are made. It's so wonderful to know God as your Savior, because He will help you each and every day through life and give you the strength that you need. The last half of this eighth verse, it says, and He saith, Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Which is, which was, and which is to come. He is the Almighty, all-ruling, sovereign, omnipotent. In Him all things consist. Without Him nothing could continue, either here on earth nor in heaven. It's hard for us to imagine taking the earth and the other planets in this solar system and placing the sun and then placing the planets and the moons that are around the different planets and then just giving everything a spin and it stays in perfect rotation. I don't know how anyone can believe that there is no God. God sustains all the earth, everything. We have seasons, year after year after year. We have folks today that are worried about global warming. Well, global warming is just a way for some to get rich, because our God is in control, and there is nothing in this world that we have done as people through the years that has changed our planets, the temperature of it, the speed of it. We must really think we're something when we could affect a planet, the earth, in such a manner. When you look at the populated area and you look at the earth's total surface, why would we ever think that something that we were doing was going to change that? We need to be good stewards of the land, yes, but no, we're not changing it. Which is, which was, which is to come. Once again, in Him all things consist. Without Him nothing could continue, either here on earth or in heaven. Understand that and remember that. Remember that. Oh, it's a joy to know the Creator. We come now to John in the ninth verse. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at John. John, a man just like you and me, brother in Christ, born again, partaker in much tribulation, not the great tribulation that we're going to be talking about, not the seven-year tribulation, but just general tribulation, persecution, in the kingdom. We become citizens of the kingdom of God when we're born again. And so when we look at this verse at 9, I, John, who am also your brother, like us, brother in Christ, companion in tribulation. Again, it is persecution. John faced much persecution. And here it says that we are together in that. So if you're facing persecution for Christ's sake, so did John. And so did most of the apostles, all of the apostles. I'll correct that. And in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, we become citizens of the kingdom of God when we're born again. I want you to understand that. The day you trust in Jesus Christ, you are a member of His kingdom. What an opportunity that is to be a citizen of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Patience, that word patience is there. And in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Patience there means enduring, continuance, waiting. So I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. There is none other as patient as our God. He is so patient, He waits judgment as it should come upon us for the way we live and what we do. We find that judgment many times is held back because God's patient. A person hears the gospel 2 or 3 times, 12 times, 100 times, and continues to say no. And yet God does not strike them dead and send them right to the lake of fire. God's patient. I know folks that have listened to the gospel of Jesus Christ so many times and to this day still have rejected that good news of salvation, that free gift that comes. They have rejected it. They have ignored it. They have denied it. And yet God's still allowing them to breathe His air and to drink His water and to eat His food. To live here upon a planet that He owns, we don't. God is so patient. And John here, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. I hope that that was a help to you to kind of see what is the beginning part of that verse. And then we find the place where he was located. He was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. The Isle of Patmos. It's just a little volcano that's very rugged. Just kind of sticks out of the water off the coast of Asia Minor. It's very small. It's about 10 miles long and about 6 miles wide. We find that John was exiled there from about the year 86 to 96, and so for about 10 years. He was exiled there because of preaching the Word of God, preaching the truth. He had much responsibility supervising other churches. He was teaching the Word of God, and that got him in trouble. There could be a day, and it could be very near, that we get in trouble when we preach the Word of God, preach the truth. Most churches today are not going to have a problem because they don't teach enough of the truth that it's going to be a problem. The world has come in and compromised the church so much that anything that the church stands for today is not in any way upsetting the most liberal person. And it should, because the Word of God is so clear. And so please that you study the Word of God from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the end of Revelation and study it, enjoy it, fellowship over it. That's the reason that he was on the Isle of Patmos. The Emperor of Rome put John in prison, put him there and shut him up and was hoping that he would just be able to do away with this religion that John has proclaimed. Well, it's not a religion. It's a person, Jesus Christ. And so it didn't go away. The devil thought he won when he put this great man out there in the middle of nowhere. But instead of that, God showed the devil that I'm going to give John one of the greatest experiences, even out here in the middle of nowhere. God took this time to give John the Baptist this great book, the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. This man, John, refused to compromise to the world. And it cost him his freedom. But John didn't do as we many times do, whine and cry and complain. There are many others that did not refuse to compromise. And here's just a small list of them that we have. See if you recognize some of these names. John the Baptist, he was beheaded. James, for preaching the gospel, a death and resurrection, was killed. Stephen, for preaching, again, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, was stoned to death. Peter was crucified, and tradition says that he refused to be crucified as his Lord, and so he was crucified upside down. That's just tradition. Paul was beheaded. What a day to stand before these great preachers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's believed that all the disciples were martyred except for one, and that's John. He's the only one. Suffer with Christ, you will reign with Christ. Deny him, and he will deny you. Have you denied Jesus Christ? Or have you trusted in Jesus Christ? It tells us here that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. As we get to the 10th verse now, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. That's Saturday. Or is that Sunday? I have many folks that I know, or some folks that I know, that believe that we should always be coming together and to worship on Saturday, on the Sabbath. And they believe that we have taken the Sabbath and moved the Sabbath to Sunday, to the first day of the week. I haven't moved the Sabbath any place. The Sabbath is Saturday. It always will be Saturday. But that's with the Jewish law. Now, when you look into the New Testament, that's the only one that isn't listed, is concerning the requirement of worshiping on Saturday. And even then, that was tradition of the Jews, because God's law said rest on the Sabbath. You were to have all your servile work done, and you would come on the Sabbath, and it had the time periods so that there was no question. And so you would come and you would rest on that day. And you didn't go to church. The preacher didn't stand up and preach. And yet today, many places that call themselves churches, but they're not, they're just a deception. They're a cult, sad to say. That's what they are. Just call it the way it is, I guess. That believe that if you do not worship on Saturday, that you're bound for hell. Well, the Word of God does not teach that in any way. And here we find that John, on the Lord's Day, which is never referenced to Saturday, but is referenced to the first day of the week, Sunday. It's a special day, a very special day. Our Lord rose from the dead on the first day of the week, which was Sunday. You know, the first day of the week is not Monday. The first day of the week is not Monday. The first day of the week is Sunday. And that is the day that we should come together. Don't miss coming together and worshiping and praising your God. So first of all, Jesus rose on the first day of the week, on Sunday. The church was born on the first day of the week. The saints of the Old Testament, of the New Testament, it was very clear that they would come and bring their offerings or their gifts and present them to God on the first day of the week. It's a special day. It is a very, very great day, the first day of the week. So I hope that you have not confused that and you've said, well, we meet on the Sabbath, but the Sabbath's been moved to Sunday. That's not true at all. The Sabbath is still Saturday. It hasn't changed a bit. But concerning worshiping on that day, that was never to be. It was a day of rest. It was a day of meditation. It was a day for the family to be together and to read the Word of God, to grow in that manner, but not to go and have a church service. That was never intended. There's nothing in the Word of God, but the tradition of man has kind of moved that and changed that. Now, we look at these verses, and we find now that as the 10th verse, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. What a day. What a day. I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, to begin with, John says, I was in the Spirit. That's the only way to learn of Christ. Now, John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. And again, John 16, verse 13 and 14 tell us, howbeit whom he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive on mine and shall receive on mine and shall show it unto you. What a wonderful verse of Scripture. What a precious verse of Scripture. As we each time turn to these verses of Scripture, and I hope that you took time to do that, the 16th verse, and as we look, and it's receive of me, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of me, and shall show it unto you. Sometimes my eyes don't work quite right. That didn't sound right when I read it, so I backed up and read it again. Once again, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. What's going to happen? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, show us. Howbeit whom he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Spirit. John, being still in the body, could only see these truths in the Spirit. If you want to receive the wisdom of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, if you want to possess the Holy Spirit in you to control you, what happens to you? You don't start speaking in tongues. You don't start yelling and screaming or rolling around. What happens to you is you become a sweet spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's called the fruit of the Spirit. So when we become controlled by the Spirit of God and listen to the Spirit, that's who we'll be. Isn't that wonderful? My dear friend, it's always a joy to be together. But the question comes, what are you going to do about Jesus?